Genesis chapter 17. Let's begin with verse 15 and read down through and including verse 18. God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you will no longer call her Sarai, for her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man that is 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under this blessing." Whenever you find yourself in a situation of life where you have to wait, how does waiting affect you? Now, depending on the circumstances, I don't do well waiting. I hate waiting. I mean, you get out in traffic and the traffic just stops and you just sit there. You go to a doctor or you go to a dentist and you just wait. Whenever I go to a doctor or dentist, I'll take paperwork or a book or something. I just can't sit there and just wait. Have you called a company recently? Your call will be taken in the order that it is placed. We will be with you Tuesday. And then the worst place on the face of the earth, at least it was back in the day, was the Department of Motor Vehicles. And I'm sure whoever dreamed up of that's in hell. But here we go. You go into the Department of Motor Vehicle, and there's that little tab, and you pull that tab, and my number is 961. And I look up front and they are serving number 6. How do you do about waiting? This morning, I want to talk to you about waiting, but I want to talk to you about a very specific kind of waiting. This morning, we want to talk about waiting by faith. Waiting by faith. And the very first thing that I want to do is I want to define what I mean when I said wait by faith. Brethren, waiting by faith isn't being apathetic. Waiting by faith isn't going somewhere and sitting down and saying, "Oh God, okay, right here, God," and then you just sit and wait for God to deliver for you. That's not waiting by faith. Now, let me share with you 3 definitions of waiting by faith, because we can't go any further until we understand what we're talking about. So the first definition of waiting by faith is that waiting by faith is active endurance. You're waiting, but while you're waiting, you're praying. While you're waiting, you are doing everything that you can do about the situation And as you wait, you will keep doing that until God steps into that situation and does everything about it that you can't do. It's active endurance. Let me give you a second definition. Waiting by faith is trusting in God in a situation where you find yourself uncomfortable. You're in a situation in life that's not good. It could get a lot worse. But in that situation, you are trusting in God. And as uncomfortable as it is, and as bad as it could possibly get, you're trusting God, and you're saying to yourself, God has got this, and God will see me through this. Waiting by faith is me trusting God in a situation that isn't good and that I'm not comfortable in. Third definition. Waiting by faith is waiting for God to fulfill his promises to you while you turn a deaf ear to the devil's whispers.
Amen.
I'm waiting for God to fulfill his promises to me. But while I'm doing that waiting, I'm not going to allow the devil to get into my ear and say, look, why is this happening to you? If God loved you, this wouldn't be happening to you. What have you done that this has happened to you? Listen, waiting by faith is me trusting in God, me believing God will fulfill his promises, and the devil or nobody else is going to take that trust away from me. Now look at the definitions. Waiting by faith. Active endurance. I'm doing what I can while I can. I'm trusting in God. My circumstances are bad, but I'm trusting. Listen, God has got this. And it's waiting for God to fulfill the promises of his word, and I'm not gonna let anybody or anything turn that trust away from me.
Amen.
Now, let's take another step. We're getting to where we're going, but give me a minute. This is waiting by faith. Now, what are some of the times in life where we have to wait by faith? Listen to me. There's thousands of them. There's thousands of them. There's thousands of situations that come about in life where the only thing left for any of us to do is to pray and to wait. But what are some of these times specifically? Dissatisfaction with a job. Listen to me. You just feel like in your job, you're just not where you're supposed to be. You just feel, look, this isn't what God wants for me. But instead of praying and instead of waiting and instead of letting God get some doors open, you jump out at the very first thing and you find yourself in worse shape than you were before you started. Dissatisfaction with a job. This just isn't what God wants. What are the times that in life where we have to wait by faith? Watching a friend self-destruct. You have a friend that has an alcohol problem, but he doesn't think so. He has a drug problem. He has an addiction problem. You're his friend. You've gone to him or to her, but you've gone to him and you've talked to them and you've tried to reason with them and get them to understand, but they're not going to hear it and they're not going to listen because they don't think there is a problem. So the only thing you have left to do is to pray and to wait by faith. What are some of these times in life when we are called upon to wait by faith? During an illness. Maybe you've been diagnosed with cancer. And so it's doctors and treatment and doctors and treatments and doctors and treatment. Maybe there's something wrong and they can't find exactly what it is. So it's doctors and tests and doctors and tests and doctors and tests, and they're trying to figure it out. They want to know what's going on, but they can't figure out what's going on. And you get to the point, listen, when you get to that stage with an illness, look, the only thing left is to pray and to wait by faith. We have arrived to where we are going. All of this brings us now to the book of Genesis, chapter 16 and chapter 17. Abraham and Sarah knew all about waiting by faith. So we're going to take a look at Abraham and Sarah as they're waiting by faith. And here's the question that we're going to ask. What can we learn from Abraham and Sarah, and what do they teach us about waiting by faith? The lesson has two parts. I'm going to give them both to you now so you know how this will unfold. The first thing we're going to look at is we're going to look at human temptations while we are waiting by faith. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to take a look at what God is doing while we are waiting by faith. So let's look at the first part of this. Human temptations while we're waiting by faith. We're in a situation, we've done all we can, and now we're just waiting on God. We're waiting by faith. But brethren, listen to me. While we wait, there are temptations that will come about to us, and we must refuse those temptations while we're waiting. Four temptations while you wait. Number one, while you're waiting by faith, there is the temptation to take matters into your own hands. Now, every eye, Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 and verse 2. Now, Sarah, Abraham's wife, had bore him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Now, before this, God had made Abraham a promise. God told Abraham, you are going through Sarah, with Sarah, you're going to become the father of a great nation. and you're going to have all of these descendants, and every nation will be blessed by your descendants. But listen, it's hard to be the father of a great nation if you don't have any children. Now, according to verse 3 of Genesis 16, it has been 10 years since God made Abraham that promise. Abraham, 10 years ago, when God made that promise to him, was 75 years old. Now, Abraham is 85 years old, and he's still waiting for a child. You listening? When you're waiting for a child, every day can be a long day. And for 10 years, they have waited for God to fulfill this promise he's made, and after 10 years, no children. So what do they do? They take matters into their own hands. And Sarah says, look, I got a maid, a servant. Abraham, you lie with her. And from that child, then we will build our family that way. Listen to me. That was not God's plan. That's not what he said. But here's what happens to us in real life. We're waiting on God. It's an awful situation in life. We're waiting on God, and we wait on God, and we wait on God, and then we become weary of waiting on God. And when we become weary of waiting by faith, we tend to just want to take matters into our own hands and force it to happen. Well, this is what God wants, so I'm going to help God. God doesn't need our help. God doesn't need our help. Well, this was what was going to happen anyway, so I'm just forcing it. Listen, you need to leave God alone. 1. Temptation number one, when we're waiting by faith, is to take matters into our own hands. Temptation number two is to take poor advice. Look at the very last statement in verse 2. The very last statement in verse 2. Abraham agreed to do what Sarah said. Did you get it? Abraham agreed to do what Sarah said. So Abraham lied with Hagar, the servant, and she conceived. And from that came Ishmael. Listen, we wait by faith. We wait by faith. It's hard. When is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? When is God going to do something? We wait by faith. Listen to me. You be very careful when you're waiting by faith. You be very careful not to let somebody with a selfish motivation get in your ear and tell you about some self-willed way that you ought to do it something different. I'm waiting. So the temptation, well, you know what? I'm just going to take matters into my own hand. The temptation is that I let somebody I shouldn't get in my ear and start telling me about some self-will way they have to bring this about. Temptation number three. While you're waiting by faith, is you begin to regret the decision that you made without God. Look at verse 4 and verse 5 of Genesis 16. He, Abraham, slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she, Sarah, knew Hagar was pregnant, Sarah began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abraham, "You are responsible for the wrong that I am suffering." Amen, husbands. Never mind. You are responsible for the wrong that I'm suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. This was Sarah's idea. Look, this was your plan. But now she hates it. Are you listening? Now she hates it. Now she despises it. Now she can't stand to look at Hagar. Listen to me. Have you ever been tired of waiting on God? So you just rushed ahead and made a decision that later on in life you hated that you made. I'm coming, sis. Here's a young lady. It could be a young man, but it's a young lady because I'm telling the story. And she falls in love with this guy. And her parents are telling her, no, no. And this guy she's fallen in love with, bless his heart, he's not worth the powder and lead it take to shoot him. In Christian love, shoot him. So her parents said, look, this is not right. This is not right. But listen, you know, she's tired of these rules at home. You know, home's pretty restricted. And she's got just a little bit of a rebellious streak in her. And most of the time, it's both things. And so she jumps out and she marries him in spite of everything everybody's telling her, only to later regret the decision that she made without God. You're waiting by faith, and waiting isn't easy. Whatever the situation, if it's you or somebody you love or whatever the situation is, and there's thousands of them, but all you can do is pray and wait. But the longer you wait, the more temptations will fill your head. So you know what? I'm just going to take this and I'm going to do this myself. Are you going to listen to somebody who has no sense and let them tell you what to do? Or you're going to jump out, you're going to make a decision without God, and then later on, you're going to regret that decision. Temptation number four. You begin to question God's promises. You understand what I mean? Well, God promised this. Well, this ain't happening. Well, I don't know now. Listen to me. At the beginning of Genesis 16, Abraham is 85 years old. At the end of Genesis 16, Abraham is 86 years old. At the beginning of Genesis chapter 17, Abraham is 99 years old. He was 75 years old when the promise was made. Abraham has been waiting 24 years for this child of promise to come. Now look carefully. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 16. Look very carefully. God, I will bless her, and I will surely give you a son by her. This is God talking to Abraham. This is a promise that he had made him. He'd made that promise repeatedly to him. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations, and kings of people will come from her. Verse 17. Abraham fell face down and laughed. He said to himself, will a son be born to a man who's 100, and will Sarah bear a child at 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under this blessing. Listen, God renewed that promise to Abraham, and Abraham falls on his face laughing. Now, when somebody makes a promise to you and you laugh, what is that telling you? I don't believe this. Or they're beginning to question it. They're beginning to question it. Let me ask you something. Have you ever known anybody who, while waiting by faith, left the faith? I do. Because God wasn't quick enough for him. God wasn't about getting it together for him. Now, when we're waiting, and the longer we wait and the more difficult that gets, these are the temptations. Now, I still love Abraham because there are so many things that Abraham could have done here that he didn't do. After 24 years, Abraham could have said, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going back home. But he didn't. Just him in the tent. He didn't go back home. What he could have done, what Abraham could have done, is what Solomon did. Just take a harem to himself. I'm going to be blessed by every nation, and here come my descendants. But he didn't do what Solomon did. Another thing he could have done, which was a big thing in the ancient world, is he could have despised Sarah. Look what you did. Listen, Sarah, even if Sarah didn't know better, Abraham did know better. Because God told Abraham what this thing was about. Now, those are the temptations. But here's the real deal. While all this waiting is going on, what's God doing? God is doing three things. What is God doing while we wait? Number one, he renews his promises. Take a look now at Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between you and me and will greatly increase your number. Listen to me. While we are waiting on God, here's what God is going to do. God is going to renew his promise to us. Listen to me. God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't forgotten you. And God hasn't forgotten the promises that he has made. And while we wait and pray, we need to be in the Word and we need to be receiving these promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. While you are waiting, God is renewing his promises. Whatever your situation is, I don't care what it is, God has not forgotten you, and he will not reject you short of you walking away from him. Now, to me, this thing coming next is the most interesting part of this entire story. What does God do while we're waiting? He'll renew his promise to you. The second thing God does while we're waiting is that God prepares us for what is beyond the wait. Listen to me. While I'm waiting, God is preparing me for what's next after the wait. Listen to me. In Genesis 17, verses 9 through 14, and I'm not going to take the time to read it. Listen to me. When you read that, it looks out of place. God's talking to Abraham, and you're like, all right, what? Where did this come from? In Genesis 17, 9 through 14, listen, God is telling Abraham about circumcision. And God tells Abraham that all of your male descendants will be circumcised, and that circumcision will be a sign of the covenant between yourself and me. Think. Here is God talking to a 99-year-old man about circumcising his descendants, and he doesn't have any kids. Now, if I'm Abraham, and everybody's glad I'm not, but if I was Abraham, I'd be like, hey, you know what? First things first here. Amen? Listen to me. This is what God does. This is what God does. While we are waiting by faith, God is teaching us, and we are learning things in that wait period that we're going to need when the waiting period is over. This is what God does. The waiting is going to make you a better person. The waiting is going to make you a stronger person. That is not to say that God has put you in the situation you're in. But when you're in it, God will work in that situation. And the reason we become better and the reason we become stronger is because we had to go through the wait. It's the waiting part that makes us stronger. It's the waiting part that makes us better. This is what God does. Well, what is God doing while I'm waiting? God is training you for when the wait's over. How foolish is life to have life throw you into the fire and you get to the other side and you haven't learned anything. What does God do while we're waiting? He renews his promise to you. I know where you're at. God still knows you. God knows your address. God knows all your passwords. In the wait, God is busy teaching you what you're going to need to know when the wait's over and you can get on with life. Number three, God fulfills his promises. In Genesis chapter 19, guess what happens? Isaac is born. The son of promise. Listen to me. It took a long time. It took a long time, but here's what you learn. Here's what you learn. If you will be faithful to God, God will be faithful to his promises. Now, look at me and listen, and you know who you are. And the rest of you, mind your own business for a minute. I'm talking to folks here right now, and you're in the waiting process. You are waiting on God. You're waiting by faith. And it's a difficult situation. And you're doing all that you can do. You're doing all that everybody around you who should be talking to you, you're doing it. Listen, you're in a stage where all you do now, all you can do now, is wait and pray. Amen. Don't be tempted now. Don't be tempted to take matters into your own hands. Don't be tempted to take silly advice from some silly person. Don't do that. God will keep his promises. And those of you who are here and you're on the upswing of life and it is good and you're not waiting for anything. Life is just good and you're just up on top of the mountain and all of that is great. And I'm not trying to paranoia, but I am going to tell you this, that the sun will not rise and set on many days till you start waiting because of a circumstance. And if it's all good right now and you've sit here this whole lesson and thought, man, that just didn't touch me. Listen, the day will come when you're going to scream, hey, preach that sermon again. Waiting by faith. God has got this. Waiting by faith. Trusting God, and God will keep his promises to you. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to become a New Testament Christian, and you need to claim the promises of God. This morning, if you're here and as a Christian, you've gone awry, you need to come back. You need to come back. Waiting on God is difficult at times, but the alternative is disastrous. You're here this morning. You need to respond. You know you ought to respond. God help you to do that right now as together we stand.